Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk with you, Big Brother 17 on robhasawebsite.com with a different guest. And today, I am joined by a great man. He was the third person evicted from Big Brother 8. He was a member of the Mrs. Robinson Alliance. It's the great Mike Dutz. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Jordan. Evil Dick's still pretty mad at me because I did a little clown routine around him. But you know what? I think he'll get over it in due time. But I'm here to talk about Vanessa and all of her cronies.
Wow. Well, I'm amazed that you're still into Big Brother 17, Mike. Like, how old are you now? I mean, you look pretty young back then, but I don't know. I kind of expected you to be off the face of the planet at this point, maybe passed out in a bar somewhere on the floor. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm very impressed. Good for you.
No, I mean, I gotta admit, my life outside of the show is pretty much a mess. But if there's one thing I'm adept at, it's watching Big Brother for 3 hours at a time. So I feel like if I really focus on that part of my life, I really don't need to think about all my other responsibilities.
Wow. I mean, so you're no longer a painting contractor.
No, the paint market kind of dried up when the economy crashed. Nobody really wants to paint their houses anymore. It's a luxury. So now I'm sort of, I guess what you call a derelict, just sort of roam from house to house and look into windows at TV sets. And that's the life I lead, and I'm proud of it.
Wow. Okay. So are you watching this GOP debate going on right now as we're podcasting? Like, do you think that if we vote for Donald Trump for president, well, I cannot vote for Donald Trump because I'm Canadian, but do you think Donald Trump will help you get back into the painting business? Will that moisten the painting business once again?
Well, the only GOP I know is Great Old Pastry, which is the nickname I gave to the donut I found in the dumpster this morning. So I don't know too much about politics, but hey, I mean, Trump, he seems like he's fun. He's tan. That means he must have some sort of credibility, right? So okay, Mike Dutz is voting for Trump.
Mike Dutz is voting for Trump. Wow. Okay. Well, Mike, I'll be honest with you. I accidentally dialed the wrong number. I pulled Rob Cesternino on Stephen Fishback during the Heroes versus Villains era of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you could please hang up, I'm actually supposed to call my friend Mike Bloom. I'll talk to you later. Say hi to Kale for me, though, please.
Oh, yeah. She's right here in the alley next to me. So I'll say hi to you. I'll say hi to her for you.
All right. Mike Bloom, how the hell are you doing, my friend? Thank you so much for joining me on the Big Brother Happy Hour.
Of course, I'm so happy to be here. Albeit, you know, we started a little bit late, right? I don't know. I guess you had some call difficulties there, but no, I'm doing fantastically. Thank you so much for having me on. This is hopefully we don't nerd out about each other too much because I think we're both so genuinely excited to talk to each other for the next couple of hours.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Mike. I'm super excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for those of you who are listening to this podcast, well, if you're listening to this podcast and you downloaded this, surely you know who Mike Bloom is. But there's, let's see, 34 people watching this on Periscope right now. You might not know who Mike Bloom is. Mike Bloom is a very talented guy. He is part of Rob Has a Planet. He is one of the great podcasters, part of the Rob Has a Podcast Network. He guests on the Last Comic Standing podcast. He's also part of the Survivor Historians podcast. He's a huge reality TV fan in general. Overall, just a hilarious guy. And that is why I really wanted to have him on the show. And I've been a fan of Mike since before I was on Big Brother. So, Mike, super stoked to have you here today and to hear what you have to say about Big Brother 17, because I haven't really heard your thoughts so far this season. So it's going to be a great day today.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of reality competition in general, but you know, I'm a big fan of the big three: Survivor, Amazing Race, and Big Brother. But I do feel like, you know, aside from me tweeting intermittently, I don't often talk too much about Big Brother. I'll appear from time and again on RHAP Talking Big Brother, where actually I appeared on the Big Brother Canada 3 preview podcast to talk about you, Jordan, along with your other 15 housemates. But other than that, yeah, I guess I would say my fandom of Big Brother is probably not too well known, but I've been watching the show live since season 3.
Oh, wow. So, okay. Yeah. So you are essentially the American version of me, Mike.
Wow, I think if we leave this podcast with one realization, I think we've just discovered that.
Yeah, well, just wait until you get on Big Brother 18 or 19, and then you volunteer to go on the block and send yourself home, and then we will really be two peas in a pod. But thank you so much. And yeah, you mentioned the Big Brother Canada preview podcast. Before we get into the Big Brother 17 talk, one of the first things that my mom said to me on the flight home from Toronto at the end of the season of Big Brother Canada 3 was, Jordan, you have to listen to RHAP, and I love all the guys on there, and I really, really like Mike Bloom. You have to talk to that guy. Mike Bloom is great. I love him so much. And I was like, oh, sweet. Well, I love Mike Bloom. I know who he is, because she was talking about Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong and these guys who I hadn't heard of before, because previously they weren't live feed correspondents. But when she mentioned your name, I instantly knew who you were. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Mike Bloom was podcasting about me. And now here we are together on a podcast. So it's
And it's even still, I'll admit something. First of all, your mother and your family in general are absolutely the nicest people in the world. Not to suck kneecaps too much, but I got to talk to both your mother and father shortly after we recorded that podcast, and they're just the nicest people in the world. But I'm even still, I mean, I've been doing this for about a year and a half now, and I'm still nerding out at the ability to talk to various reality TV contestants, yourself included. So you are another notch in my belt. And I am so happy about that.
maybe a weak notch at that, Mike. But yes, thank you.
Yeah, you still keep the pants up. So that's all that matters.
Gets the job done. But thank you very much, Mike. I'm flattered. That means a lot. And I do really appreciate that. And my parents do as well. But let's get into the Big Brother 17 talk, because the Periscope drop viewers are quickly dropping as we're talking about our personal lives.
I think once they found out I wasn't actually Mike Dutz, they probably just vacated.
Oh, that's okay. All right, guys. So as always, we're going to be talking Big Brother 17 here. There's no spoilers today, so we're just going to be reviewing the episode and everything that went on tonight and last night, as well as on the Sunday episode. But don't really need to talk about the Sunday episode and the guest star that was on that episode. But it's going to be a really good episode. Towards the end of the show, we're going to be taking your questions. So if you want to tweet us using hashtag RHAP, or if you want to tweet myself, I am at Jordan Parhar. Mike Bloom is at a Mike Bloom type. So if you want to tweet either of us your questions, that would be awesome. And for those of you on Periscope, I'm not going to be paying too much attention to the screen on Periscope for now, but I will signal for you guys to give me your questions later, and then I will start pulling questions from there. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and let's get into this. So Mike, let's not bury the lead here tonight. We had the final four get together, live eviction, the last power veto competition of the season, and we see Vanessa win the power veto. She is granted the sole vote to evict, and she takes out Johnny Mac, the rock star dentist. Mike, how do you feel about Johnny Mac going? Because I'll be honest, I'm pretty bummed out. I'm pretty disappointed. I'm feeling like Mike Dutz in that back alley with Pale.
I mean, I will say, yes, I'm definitely bummed out to a certain extent. I mean, looking at this from a character perspective, you can't get any better than Johnny Mac. Coming into this game, I think everyone kind of wrote him off as like this just completely ridiculous man. And I don't think any of us had the idea that he would make jury, let alone Final Four. So you have to appreciate it from that perspective. But I mean, I'm sort of trying to quell my sadness with this idea that, I mean, in my opinion, this is a very strong end game. It's very, very rare, specifically in recent seasons of Big Brother, that we really can look at all 3/4/, if we count Austin, 5 people left in the game and say, this is a case where each person can make how they got to the end and why they should win the $500,000. And I feel like that speaks to, you know, I'm sort of giving the flipping the bird to Les Moonves here. It speaks to the strength of this cast this year, because I think, you know, it might not have been the stellar gameplay, but it's been gameplay. And I think everyone has tried playing to the best of their abilities. And as a result, it's produced fantastic television.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's something that people a lot of times they're really looking for. Ooh, I want the best gameplay and I want the best players and I want them to be cutthroat and all this kind of stuff. But that if we just have 16 game bots thrown into a house, that isn't necessarily going to make for great television or a great season. I think in this case, in which, like you said, everybody's in there, everybody's bringing something to the table. They're all playing to the best of their abilities. And I think that the mix, this puzzle that Robin Cass and her team has put together, is really excellent. It's one of the best casts I've seen, I think, in years. You could argue, I think, maybe not quite as good as Big Brother 10, but I think that it's in that range. I think really this is a very strong group, and that's why we're left with now, we had a final five that was incredibly potent, and now we have a final three that is also very deserving of being there, and I'm super excited to see who we have left. Now, this week was a little bit interesting. So last week, Vanessa made the decision to evict Julia rather than taking a shot at Liz. And a lot of people were very, very critical of Vanessa and that move. Ultimately, looks like it's working out for Vanessa in that she's in the final three with Liz. What do you think about that, Mike? Do you think that Vanessa did such a good job planning out that move and everything she did this week, including winning HOH? Or do you think she kind of just lucked out in this scenario? Because at the end of the day, Big Brother is very luck based.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw out a theory here that I have about the general structure of the Big Brother game, and I want to get your opinion on it. I think that the Big Brother game is sort of divided into three eras, if you will, over the course of however many weeks you play. I would say the first third of the game generally is social. I'd say the middle third of the game is strategic. And I'd say the last third is physical or competition based. So basically saying your first like 3-4 weeks in the house, the targets are usually going to be more towards the people that are annoying or who put themselves out there as big threats. You know, it's not, there's a fluke here and there, but they're not usually going to be pursuing big strategic threats. The middle of the game is really when the power players come out, and that's when they sort of start making their big moves. But the last third of the game is so competition based where, you know, we saw it this week with the final five. Johnny Mac was the target. All he needed to do was just win one competition, and he made his way into the final four. It's because there's so few people left. It's so, the outcomes are so based on who wins a single competition that it's really tough to sort of game around that. And there have been people who have. That being said, I will say, since we're sort of transitioning from this second period into this third period, I do think there was an element of luck with Vanessa here. Just like we would say, you know, people who make the hindsight argument of like, you know, oh, Steve and Johnny Mac shouldn't have flipped because Liz won HOH, all that type of stuff. And we can even talk, we'll probably talk about that later with Johnny Mac possibly regretting his decision to evict Steve. But I think that there is a lot of luck involved with these competitions, not just the actual competitions themselves, but who wins them. So I think the fact that, you know, that Vanessa was able to win and get rid of Austin saved a lot of ground, because I think had it gone the other way, she would have caught a lot of flack for keeping Liz and Austin together.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree with you. And that's a really good theory, in that Big Brother, you can view Big Brother as a game of thirds, per se, and in which the first part is social, the second part is strategic, and the third part is physical or competition based. Yeah, I really do like that, because if you look at the best players of this game, they excel in those aspects of the game during those times of the game, if that makes sense. Or at least, yeah, maybe not all the time. There's players like Dr. Will, there's players like Dan Gieseling, there's players like Derek Lavasser, who are just so good at the strategic and social elements of the game that they can just completely carry them to the end. But players that tend to execute and who tend to win, really, that is pretty much the trajectory in which they fall under in terms of their peaks and valleys during the season. So yeah, I do agree with you in that. And yeah, the Vanessa thing, it's very interesting. And I think in hindsight, if Vanessa wins this game, Mike, I think it's going to be a great win. And I think that, yes, it was a little bit lucky somehow some of this stuff went, because if Johnny Mac did change his mind, if he did vote out Steve instead of Austin, I don't think there's a scenario. I guess Vanessa probably still would have won that veto, and that's what would have carried her. But she would have been in the big trouble, and she got incredibly lucky to pull that off. But maybe that's just how good Vanessa is. Maybe I'm selling Vanessa a little bit short, and I've been critical of Vanessa on Twitter. I've been a little bit critical of her on this podcast, but I've always been adamant that Vanessa has a lot of strategic acumen for this game. She's a very strong player overall. I wouldn't say she's a very elite player, but in terms of the field this season, I like what she's done. I think she's done a very decent job so far. Mm-hmm. Mike, do you think that if Vanessa is not the winner of this season, it's a little bit of a disappointment if we walk away 1 week from tonight and Steve or Liz is the winner of Big Brother 17?
Well, from a story perspective, I would say that I think if we had a Vanessa or a Steve win, I feel like that would be satisfying. As much as we want to say Steve is a poor man's Ian, they did have some very similar trajectories. They were both sort of outcasts in the beginning. You know, Steve was nominated. He was he seemed like the boot target for the first week until the whole Jace backdoor plan happened. But then he was able to kind of lie low until he was able to come about. And again, in that second third of the game, the strategic portion, and then really sail forth into a more of a dominant role. So I'd be fine with a win there. The Liz one is a little more difficult just because, I think with Liz, it's tough sometimes to separate personality from gameplay, right. At least from my perspective, because for me, I think Liz actually played this game well. Granted, she got very comfortable and lucky that her allies, and there was that whole streak of a few weeks in the middle, almost a month, where her allies just kept winning competitions and she was pretty much safe. But, you know, she got herself set up with an ally who basically came crawling to her, literally in a bowl arena competition example. And she was able to, you know, she had to walk on some broken glass there in the first few weeks, thinking like, oh, you know, if somebody finds out that my twin is coming in, they might evict me immediately. So she's had her own trials and tribulations that she's done well with it. I mean, it's just tough to parse that out from her personality for me, which is a bit, I'll use the term vapid a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. It's tough. I mean, we're human, right? I think it's hard to just look at something strictly objectively on a game level and to not look past the personality portion of Liz. And she said some things on the live feeds that I don't agree with and stuff like that. But like you said, I think that she has done she's done a good job. I mean, it's impressive that she's gotten this far in the game, and you have to give her credit for doing that. And I had Jen on Periscope just said, was Liz's greatest accomplishment surviving the twin twist, Mike? What do you think about, was that sort of the peak for Liz surviving that? And then the rest of it was kind of just like a mix of Austin and Julia and being a part of that scamper squad sort of deal. And that carried her far. Or do you think that she's done a little bit more beyond just surviving that twin twist there?
So for I think like phase one Liz was that sort of first 6 weeks Liz, where it was basically her dealing with the twin twist, and then she was able to get in a really great position where Vanessa and Shelley were able to use the twin as a leverage to get them into the name escapes me. Oh, the Sixth Sense. That's what it was.
Yes.
It feels so long ago. That
I know,
about
right?
The Sixth
it's
Sense.
Crazy. And that's a hashtag signs that Big Brother is too long these days.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's another topic, but so she has that first part of her game, but as much as Rachel Riley is very much in this camp here, but I feel like in Modern Big Brother, comp wins are a huge thing on your resume. And I feel like Liz was able to bring some credibility to herself by winning a couple of key competitions. You know, she's won two HOHs so far. I can't remember if she's won a veto. She's definitely won a Battle of the Block. But let's compare that to her record with Julia, to the point of where when they were up together, we were all saying not only evict Liz because she's with Austin, but evict Liz because she wins competitions. You know, I think that says something about how she's been able to play a game that separates herself from her sister. And I think that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a tough thing to do, especially if you have somebody who looks and sounds pretty much like you. But Liz did it. And I think you saw that tonight with the jury segment in which Meg is saying, oh, well, clearly it makes sense to vote out Liz over Julia because let's be real, Julia kind of sucks and all this stuff. And yeah, I mean, Liz has proven that she is her own person. She has gone out there and won some competitions. things, and she's no slouch. I mean, yes, she's, I mean, we can get into talking about Sigmund and Freud or some various other things that make me think, question whether or not Liz is the most strategically savvy or intellectual individual in this game. But I mean, like you said, the modern day Big Brother, and one day perhaps there will be a evolution of strategy for Big Brother, and we can look back at Big Brother 2 and Big Brother 3 and those days in which competition wins. I mean, not the biggest deal in the world, but nowadays when you have these recruits in the house, when you have this modern era of Big Brother, comp wins are, like you said, part of a winning resume. You mm-hmm. need competitions, and I hate constantly going back to my own season, but Big Brother Canada 3, the same thing happened. I mean, that happened, yep. really. Godfrey Manguiza gets to the final two. He doesn't really have the competition wins on his resume, and as a result, he doesn't win. Now, as somebody who did not vote for Godfrey, that wasn't 100% my thought process behind it. Part of it was just Sarah having such a good social game, but at the same time, had Godfrey had those stats, I think people would have that were voting, more of them probably would have said, you know what, wait a minute, this guy has really controlled this game and done such a great job. So it'll yeah. be interesting to see if Liz ends up in a final two scenario in which she's got a chance. Now, speaking of that, I want to talk about the jury segment that they showed on the episode tonight, Mike. And we saw Julia enter the jury house right away, and she seemed to be understanding about Steve getting rid of her. But then we saw that whole week and how that went down. Then we saw yesterday, or what they said was yesterday, who knows when it happened, when Austin enters the jury house and he comes in barefooted and he's very bitter towards Vanessa. And he says that he is going to try, basically implies that he's going to do whatever he can do to make sure that Vanessa does not win this game. Mike, do you think that Vanessa's in trouble heading into this final three now that there are several people on this jury who clearly do not want to vote for her? Because I feel like Austin's going to be able to manipulate some of these people.
I don't want to invalidate Austin immediately, but what I'm going to say is, after I saw him on yesterday's eviction episode, and especially what he was talking about with Julie Chen after he got out of the house, part of me is wondering now, to what degree in those jury segments is Austin just saying things to get camera time? I'm wondering, you know, as much of like a because he is a person who I assume respects the game. He's appeared on AfterBuzz before. He's a fan of the show. I think he's one of those people that would probably hate the idea of a bitter jury and the idea of possibly poisoning a jury. And part of me is wondering, you know, is this Austin is an attention seeker. Is this just a ploy for him to, you know, if the jury is so pro Vanessa, if everyone's in Shelley's corner, providing himself as the big Judas villain of the jury, will that get him more attention? The answer in this segment was obviously yes. And part of me does wonder, though, at the end of the day, will Austin actually go through with that and not vote for Vanessa should she make the final two?
Yeah, well, I think that it's going to be intriguing, and it'll be fun to see how this plays out, because I agree with you. Austin is definitely, he's got some ulterior motives. I mean, we saw in his eviction speech him saying, "Hey, I'll see you on The Bold and the Beautiful." I mean, and he's brought that up multiple times on the live show, which, yeah, that's another thing we don't need to get into. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like the fact that he was blindsided, he had that reaction, and instantly he said, "You can't win the game," to Vanessa. And that was the instant reaction he had. And as somebody who has been blindsided before, you can't really, I mean, it's very shocking. You're stunned. You can't believe what's just happened. And everything that comes out is pretty much raw emotion. It's kind of hard to lie or to play something up in that moment. What you see there is what you get, at least for me. Maybe Austin is a lot better at that because he's a former professional wrestler and he's got that experience, but I don't know. So the fact, if he would have not acted that way and then done that at the jury segment, then maybe I would be a little more inclined to agree with you there. But I think that because we saw that right after the live show and we saw it again when he was in the jury house, maybe he's playing it up. Maybe he's not going to be so gung-ho on trying to convince people to change their minds. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one to see if Vanessa is in the final two against Steve, where Austin's vote is going to lie. Now, Mike, let's talk about these different scenarios, because I'm excited to see what's going to go down. There's only the best part about, and I love speculation on my podcast and talking about different things that are going to be going on, but it's hard to do that when there are 8 or 9 or 10 different people in the house. Mm-hmm. Now there's 3 people left. So there's only a few scenarios that we're going to encounter.
There are literally 3.
Right. So that's good. That's why we can talk about this a little bit. And I'm interested to hear your take on this. Who do you think right now, we're sitting at the final 3, we haven't seen part 1 of the final HOH competition. How would you rank these players in most likely to win 1 week from tonight the $500,000 prize?
I feel like Steve and Liz, it's going to be a race to see who gets rid of Vanessa. Because I sort of feel like, and I'm gonna put on my Coach Wade hat here. Vanessa has become the dragon in a way. Austin has sort of made her to be the dragon by, you know, publicly calling her out. And I think everyone's become very cognizant the entire summer of all the moves that Vanessa has made. And so for both Steve and Liz, I feel like this is their opportunity to say, okay, look what I just did 10 minutes ago. I got rid of the biggest player in this season. That's why you should vote for me to win. So that being said, all right, so let's just parse this out a little bit. The first part of the competition is going to be endurance.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember. I mean, Vanessa technically won the last endurance challenge, but that was after a grand total of like 7 minutes.
Yeah, remember the good old days when endurance comps would go 3 or 4 hours, and then instead we're left with Vanessa winning after being on that thing for 12 minutes?
I'm pretty sure Jennifer Vasquez and Kacer were in that greenhouse for like, like 50 times longer than that competition lasted.
Honestly, yeah, I wish I could quickly do the math here, but you're right. Yeah, in minutes, hold on, because that was, how long was that competition? That competition,
I think it was like 10 hours or something.
That was 10 hours. Okay. And okay, that's going to, yes, it's, wow, that's crazy to think about that. I thought it might have even been longer than that, Mike. Because it was the morning when that comp finished.
The only reason I remember it is that I think the longest endurance competition in Survivor, which was the Ian and Tom Survivor Palau Final Challenge, I think that was like 10 and a half hours. And then when Big Brother 6 came about a couple years later, I remember people were saying it was like almost as long as
Okay. So yeah, so there we go. So it must have been about 10 hours. So we're looking at about, okay, so 10 hours here. Jeez, that's a long time, man. That's
yeah. So I don't know. I'm trying to remember the mountain one. I'm pretty sure Vanessa lasted a pretty long time there.
Yeah, the one that James won, you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but Vanessa didn't play because she wasn't the head of household then, or she was the outgoing HOH. Now I remember, that was the week after Jason left.
You are right. So she did not compete in that one. Yeah, but I think that based on that comp alone, Vanessa's got, I mean, and if you compare, these three are going to be pretty even, I think, looking at their body types. But if we're just looking at the track record, Vanessa has done the best so far in these types of competitions.
Yeah, I would say so. And then looking at even the second part of the competition, which it varies from time to time, but it tends to be very much like, oh, you know, put the HOHs in order or put the power veto winners in order with some sort of weird, funky props abounding. I would say that Steve can definitely beat Liz on that portion, just because I think as much as Liz can study, I think his knowledge and preparedness for it is much greater than any sort of preparation Liz can make. So if we're facing a Steve and Vanessa face off, and this is going to be the jury questioning, I don't know. Part of me kind of wants to give it to Steve in that, just because I think both of them will prepare. But I mean, the question is, which one of them knows the jurors better?
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. But at the same time, I feel like the more and more that I see this final part of the final HOH comp, part 3, in which, yeah, they're asked these questions about the jury and what they're saying, it's really a crapshoot, Mike. I mean, it really is. I mean, the one when, and I didn't really fully comprehend this until I saw, or maybe I did comprehend it, but I really saw that during Big Brother 14 when it was Dan versus Ian. And I remember that time thinking, oh man, Dan's got this in the bag. And then Ian ended up crushing him in that comp. But really, I think that it is kind of a crapshoot in that scenario. And we saw that last year. I mean, when Cody won it instead of Derek, and mm-hmm. I thought we were going to have a travesty in which Derek Levasseur would not be the winner of Big Brother 16. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think I agree with you. I think if I had to guess, it probably would be Steve in that spot, right? So yeah. If Steve wins the final HOH, I think he's going to take Liz, no?
Yeah, I think Liz and Steve will absolutely. I don't think they're actually going to make a deal about it, but I think each of them are gunning to get rid of Vanessa. If Vanessa wins, that's an interesting question. I personally think Vanessa would get rid of Liz because Liz is
really okay.
Because Liz has two guaranteed votes on the jury. Whereas I think with Steve, it's a lot more nebulous. You have to look at that After Dark crew. You have to look at your James and your Jackie and your Meg and your Becky, who like they might be mad at Steve for nominating them and for sticking under Vanessa, or they might love him. Who really knows? At this point, Shelly was voted out like 2 months ago. we didn't even remember the name of the alliance they were a part of. But I think that Steve is going to be much more of a wild card and she's able to grab some more votes. Whereas if she takes Liz, she knows that she is not getting 2 out of 9 votes automatically.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And it's funny. I did a radio interview today with the Ginger Ninja 604 Proppa. And sorry to interrupt this. Somebody's asking me on Periscope, are we answering questions now? We're going to be answering questions in a little bit. So I will let you guys know. So stay tuned. But anyway, I was talking to the Ginger Ninja today and we were talking about Godfrey and Big Brother Canada 3 and him losing and deciding to take Sarah to his thought making or his decision process making process in taking Sarah Hanlon to the final two instead of Ashley Wood. And Greg was saying to me that he thought it was really he just didn't get it. He said, like, why would Godfrey do it? It just didn't make any sense. And I said, well, I think Godfrey's thinking was that Ashley had 4 guaranteed votes in myself, Kevin, Peely, and Zach. So she had those 4 votes and he didn't know about the other 6. So he decided rather than going up against those 4 guaranteed votes, he was going to go up against somebody who had maybe 1 guaranteed vote in Sarah, who was going to get 1 from Brittany no matter what. So I think maybe it's just going to be interesting to see how Vanessa looks at it. If she says to herself, okay, look, Liz, she's got those 2 votes that are guaranteed. And whereas Steve really only has maybe the 1 in Johnny Mac, she might look at it that way. But if I was Vanessa, I think I would have to go up against Liz because I think going against Liz would be the smarter move because the other people in the house were all Liz has the blood of all of those other jury members pretty much on her hands, just as Vanessa does. So she'd be in a spot where, yes, people could be upset with her like in Austin, but they'd have to be upset with Liz too, right, Mike? Because she's essentially did the exact same thing to them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'm just wondering. I wonder though, like for the latter these past like couple weeks of the game though, Liz and Vanessa have been pretty much on opposite sides of the house.
That is true.
Whereas like if she brought Steve, she could theoretically, if she does it well enough, spin an argument of, well, Steve did do this, but actually I was the one that was doing it, and Steve was doing it under me, because that's pretty much what it was. They had a very healthy relationship, but I don't know how symbiotic it really was. I mean, it was very rare that Steve would ever do anything that ever surprised Vanessa, and Vanessa can definitely play that card if she chooses to take Steve.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I agree with you there. But you never know. I mean, I thought that scenario you described, that sounds exactly like Ian Terry sitting next to Dan Gieseling in the final two of Big Brother 14. And sure enough, we had Ian Terry win that vote 6-1. So I'm not, who knows? I don't think this jury will be as bitter, and I don't think Vanessa has done as many egregious things as Dan did that season. So it'll be a little bit different that way. Do you think if Vanessa is in the final two, Mike, though, either way, regardless whether she's next to Liz or next to Steve, that she's got this game on lock, or do you think it's going to be pretty close?
If she's on it, I think either way, it's going to be pretty close. I don't think it's going to be an open and shut case. It's not going to be. I mean, the past two votes have been 7-2, I believe. I think it's going to be closer than that. It might be 5-4 or even 6-3, which is very, very dicey. I mean, thinking about people that Vanessa definitely has in her court, I'm looking at Shelly, because every jury house segment we've seen, Shelly's been the one to really stick up and talk about it. I'm wondering about, you know, like someone like Becky is a huge wild card for a variety of reasons. But I mean, she was the one who was vehemently opposed to Vanessa. She called her out basically in the Big Brother town square saying she's a witch. We need to burn the witch. And the witch was not burned. And I wonder, is Becky going to still, you know, harbor those feelings of resentment, or is she going to honor gameplay there? Because I'm wondering with this After Dark crew again, something tells me that they're going to play more to the social aspects than they may towards the strategic aspects.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I agree with you. And it's going to be, we don't know. It's a big wild card, right? We don't know how these guys are feeling. And there's nobody left of that After Dark crew in the game. So there's no clear person to whom they're going to say, all right, we're definitely behind James, or we're definitely behind Meg or Jackie. There's none of those people. So they're going to have to take, some sort of stance, and the way in which they come up with their criteria for a Big Brother winner and the person in which they want to vote for is going to be interesting to see. I mean, we don't know. So it's good. That's why I'm really pumped to see this finale, because last year, I think it was clear. It was, to me at least, I thought there's no way Derek does not win this game. And sure enough, Derek won. Big Brother 15, the exact same thing. I knew Andy had that game on lock. As soon as he had that final three, it was over. And Big Brother 14, I guess that was the last time we really had a season where I said to myself, okay, this could go a few different ways. It's going to be very exciting. And really, I honestly, like the kind of roles, it's the parallels between this and Big Brother 14 are very interesting, because we have a very strong strategist, not on the level, and people are going to roast me for this, but not on the level of Dan Gieseling, people, but the strongest strategist in this game, in this season, Vanessa. Okay, we have the strategist. We have the nerdy super fan sidekick sort of character in comparison from Ian to Steve. And we also have the female who is helping out the strong strategist for the majority of this game. And the strategist went against that person multiple times, but remained pretty loyal to that person. They won some competitions, have a bit of a resume, and it's pretty up in the air. So I'm pumped to see what's going to happen. It's a good group. It's a really good group here. And you brought up a good point talking about Becky and her vote. I think a fun exercise we could do, Mike, is talk about where we think each of these jury members might lean, going through each of these guys, where they're going to vote. Because I think this will be a lot of fun, because – and maybe this can help us predict who we're going to see win this game. So why don't we go through this? We don't know who's going to win the final competition. So let's just leave all three up in the air.
Yeah.
Let's start with Shelly. Where do you think Shelly's going to lean in terms of voting?
She's 100% in Vanessa's camp. I think she has the advantage of being the first juror in that, unlike someone like Austin, she has her mind removed from the game basically completely at this point. So she's able to really look objectively at things. And again, every jury house segment we go to, which, by the way, I'm so glad they bought them back after the past seasons when they really haven't. It makes me happy. And again, I think it speaks to, let's move this aside, how much production loves this cast. But I mean, she is every segment she's talking about how much she respects Vanessa's game. So she is a guaranteed Vanessa vote, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you too. And I agree. The best part, I mean, being the first member of the jury, I mean, it has its pros and its cons. The major con for Shelly is that, I mean, she was evicted on day 57. She's been in that jury. And by the end of this, she's going to be in there for 41 days, Mike. So almost 6 weeks of being in that jury house, which is crazy. I was in there for 5 and I almost lost my mind. But yes, that is one thing I can tell you firsthand, being the first member of a jury, is being away from the game, being removed, far removed, it has its negative side in that you don't necessarily, things can change in terms of what's going on in the game, but you are far enough removed from the game that you can be pretty objective in terms of how you're going to vote, because you're pretty much over the entire, and you're over being bitter. You're not going to be bitter. You're just going to vote with who played the best game. So we're thinking Shelly's going to vote for Vanessa. Where do you think Jackie is going to place her vote? Because she was pretty anti-Vanessa in her diary rooms, in which when she had her chance of going back into the house, and she has been in her other jury segments before as well.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Steve was the one that nominated her and evicted her over a very erroneous reason that she knows was completely false. So that's the only thing that's holding me back from saying she would be a Steve vote. And I'm trying to remember what her personal relationship was with Liz was, whether that warrants a vote as well.
Yeah, it wasn't. The relationship with Jackie and Liz was pretty non-existent for the most part. I mean, they were it wasn't bad. It was I wish I could do Rob Cesternino's impression of Penner right now. It's not bad. It's not the worst thing ever. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's good either, though. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to say Steve, but I'm just wondering, you know, is Jack the type of person to say, well, you're the one that put me up and got rid of me and was responsible for my demise in the house, so I'm not going to vote for you.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think there might be some of the element of in Jackie's head where she thinks, okay, well, yes, I lost and yes, this person got me, but if I'm going to lose, I want to lose. I want the person who got me out to be the best person, the person who won this game. So I think she might lean Steve, Mike. I think Steve might be the way she goes. Steve or Liz, I'm not sure, but I don't think she's going to be going Vanessa.
No, I mean, she went out of the game the same day as Shelley. But again, if we're letting these jury house segments sort of be the forecast of how they might be viewing the people currently in the game, you're right. She is very she is still very anti Vanessa. And I don't know if as much coaching as Shelley can do can coerce a vote for Vanessa out of Jack.
That's definitely a thing is if you. You leave when you go into the jury house. Yes, you look at it objectively, but you remember where things were at when you were last in the house. And when Jackie was last in the house, her relationship with Vanessa was not great. Vanessa had screwed her over and been very duplicitous with her throughout her time in the Big Brother house. So I think that Jackie's going to have that in the back of her mind. And I don't think she's going to be the type of person to reward Vanessa for her gameplay. Okay, Becky, we already talked about Becky a little bit here. So where do we land on Becky for her vote? Are we going to say, what do we say, Liz?
Well, yeah, here's the thing about Becky, too. I mean, again, Becky was extremely anti-Vanessa, even more so than Jackie. She was her main target that one week where she didn't end up going home. But that being said, is Becky going to be the type to turn it around and honor gameplay? I really, unfortunately, don't know so much about Becky at this point that I can't figure out exactly who she would vote for. And I mean, Steve, it seemed like they had a fine relationship, but again, something that's not terribly close. This may be a vote for Liz. Again, I'm trying to remember the social dynamics between these people.
Well, Becky in the house really did not like Vanessa. She didn't get along with her.
Yeah.
And there was this whole storyline on the show, if you remember, Mike, of Steve hating Becky.
Right.
And he just had this irrational hate of Becky. And he just said, Becky, you need to get out. And why don't you just go? And he just kept getting so upset. So I think that was rooted from Becky on the feed saying some stuff to Steve, how she was targeting him and stuff like that. So I don't think that Becky really has the greatest relationship with Steve. And also Becky had a bit of a working relationship with Austin and the twins at times during this game when she was kind of playing both sides, when she was kind of on the After Dark crew side, and then she was also with Clay and Shelley. So from those days, I think she has probably the best relationship with Liz, if I'd have to say, with any of these people. All of them are pretty poor, but I would say probably Liz. So I think if we're going to give someone the point here, I think we got to say Liz in this scenario.
No, that totally makes sense. And I just shirked off the Steve hates Becky storyline because it literally came out of nowhere if you're just watching the show.
Yeah, it did, right? She didn't. What did she do?
I don't know. It seems like, you know, if you're just watching the show, it seems like she like murdered his child. but like she obviously probably just made a few remarks about him. But yeah, I mean, if those words carry, I think she definitely would be a vote in Liz's corner, though. We'll put the point there, but let's just say, if it's Vanessa versus Steve, who's she going to pick?
Vanessa versus Steve. Oh my gosh, that's hard. I think she had a lot of vitriol towards Vanessa, Mike. I think, yeah. And with Austin and being in a jury environment in which people are talking game all the time and you just are constantly, it's similar to The Bachelor, I feel like, in which you're stuck in a house with these people that only have one thing to talk about. On The Bachelor, that is the guy that they want to date and to marry.
Yeah, I was gonna say the piece of human meat they are pursuing is their topic of conversation.
Exactly. Yes. So that is who they can only think about. And when you're in a Big Brother jury, the only thing that you really have in common with these people is the game and talking about how you all lost and what was the root of that. And if somebody keeps bringing over the fact that that a certain individual like a Vanessa screwed all of them over, it's kind of hard to get that out of your brain and it's hard to shut that off. So I feel like if it is Becky voting and it is Vanessa and Steve in the final two, I do think that she's going to vote for Steve, because I think that the irrational Steve hate must have come from somewhere. But we never saw Becky once on the show. Mm-hmm. Say anything about her feelings towards Steve. So
yeah,
I don't know. And I think she's probably going to have Johnny Mac is going to be able to influence her, I think, a bit. He's going to talk to her about that, right? So I think if it's Vanessa and Steve, I think she's going to lean Steve. But for the sake of this tally, we're going to give Liz the check mark at this point. If you're keeping track at home, it's 1-1-1 so far. So this will be interesting to see. James is up next. Oh, no, sorry. I skipped Meg. Poor Meg. Who can forget the great Meg a friend of Andrea Belkey, maybe. That's how we're...
Yes, person from not my hometown, but from the town that I'm currently in, New York, New York.
All right. So, Meg, what do you think Meg is going to do? Because this is one that I can't get my finger on the pulse of this one. I don't know.
I'm actually going to try to loop Meg and James in together. I think the two of them are going to vote similarly. And I think Meg is going to look to James a little bit to see who he's voting for and base her decision off of that. That being said, I think James is going to be in Steve's corner.
Interesting. Okay. You think James is going to be in Steve's corner? Yeah, I can see that for sure. I think that James, we saw that fake showmance between James and Steve on the show. They had a good relationship. And yeah, I could see that. The only thing holding me back from that just is in the back of my mind is in their exit interviews, James and Meg both said they believed Austin was playing the best game. And I think by association, they might give Liz a lot of credit for getting to where... making it as far as she did. And if they really believe Austin is one of the best players in the game, I think that they're going to take his opinion seriously. They're going to listen to what he has to say. And if he's pumping up Liz a lot, I think they might go in that direction. But you know what? If push comes to shove, I agree for one that they will vote together. I guess they probably will go Steve, right? Because I think that they're not going to want to give it to Vanessa. They don't really love what Vanessa's done. And I think they're going to vote more personally than some of these other people, because I think that's just kind of who they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's part of jury management. You have to be strong at doing that. You got to have a great social game. You got to be likable. And if you screw everybody over, they're not going to really appreciate that at the end of the day, at least not everybody, especially your James and your Megs of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would say that we talk about this all the time on Survivor podcasts about how no matter what sort of game you play on the jury, at the end of the day, the jury is going to vote for the person that they want to see win. And it honestly becomes a sort of a framed popularity contest. And there may be stuff that's based off of strategy or challenge strength or anything like that. But basing it down to like bare elements, people are going to vote for the person that they want to see win, that they like seeing their name with winner of XXX season next to it. And I think that's very, very, very much the mindset of Meg and James here. They want to say, we want to look back on the person we voted to win and smile. And I think that Steve is totally in that category. I think that he's made enough social inroads with those people specifically that I think they're in his camp. I do agree the Austin-Liz connection does bring up something, you know, pretty interesting. But I mean, let's also remember that brass tacks pretty much got broken when they voted to evict Meg and sent James out soon after. So who knows? And we also, again, if it's a Steve Liz final two, I mean, James loves the blood on the metaphorical blood on people's hands, which whatever one of them gets rid of Vanessa might earn his vote as well.
That's a really good point. And going back to the slaying of dragons that you brought up earlier, love me some Coach Ben Wade. But yes, I do think that that probably is something that James will have in the back of his mind if one of Liz or Steve is the one that ultimately evicts Vanessa. Okay, so we're going to keep, so we're keeping score here. So it was 1-1-1, and we got a little bit of a boost here for Steve if he's got Meg and James's votes coming up here. So it is 3-1-1. Julia is next, and we don't even need to talk about it. It's going to be Liz. Mike, what is the scenario? What would need to happen for Julia to not vote for Liz in the final two?
if a piece of the International Space Station falls right during the final voting period into the studio, right outside the Big Brother house, as soon as Julia gets up to put her key in the box, right before she puts it in, the piece of debris strikes her in the head, basically bisecting her vertically, and as a result, she is not able to vote. I think that is the only scenario where she does not vote for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I apologize for the graphic content.
I think that is scenario A, and I think scenario B is if Willie Hantz jumps the fence onto the CBS lot and then headbutts her and throws a bag of pork rinds at her. I think that is the only other way. And then she's just physically unable to vote. I think those are the two scenarios in which Julia is not voting for Liz to win this game.
Yeah, but and then Justin Sobolewski's behind her holding up a knife to her. And Shima chokes her from behind with a microphone cord.
Would you be mad if I killed you right now?
Tell me to take off my microphone now. Yes, oh. It's the expelled house guest Royal Rumble on the finale of Big Brother 17.
Oh, that would be a great show.
Scott Long is throwing chairs.
Oh man, Shima Simone is back, and oh boy, you betcha, she's gonna throw you into the pool just like her microphone.
I think that actually, if their ratings are suffering, I think that'd be a perfect. They don't need to bring them into the house. Just, you know, maybe that'll be the takeover. Is just bring in the former contestants to just have sort of celebrity death matches in front of the house to pass the time.
Could you imagine if it's final? If Steve and Liz, sorry, Steve and Vanessa, they go into the house and it's they're getting ready for that final two part three of the final HOH comp, in which they have to guess the jury what they're saying. And then Julie Chen hits the button and it's get ready for a takeover. And then all of a sudden, and then Willie Hantz, Chima, Justin and Scott all enter the house.
Well, if they're not going to enter the house, they're going to literally blow a hole into the house with dynamite and then just start coming at it with flamethrowers and chopping stuff down with axes. It'll be like the hide the veto challenge, but much, much more chaotic.
Oh, man. Are you're familiar with El Chapo, Mike?
Oh, yes.
As in
the escaped Mexican convict?
Is that what you're talking about? Yes, yes. I was going to say they should the expelled house guests need their own secret network in which they can like dig a hole into the house and then they just break into the CBS lot, go into the house and just like bust up the fine finale and do their own takeover on their own, and they're like, surprise, we're all here, and then they just take over the broadcast. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
I feel like you're spoiling the end of the last Hunger Games. Pretty sure that's exactly what's gonna happen in the Hunger Games.
Oh, El Chapo. Oh my gosh.
Why El Chapo should have had a takeover?
Yeah, honestly, El Chapo should have had his own takeover, or he should have tweeted Julie Chen and threatened for her life as well, and then said, yeah, if you don't give me a takeover, I'm gonna assassinate you, just like he said to Donald Trump.
Or what El Chapo should have done is he should have kidnapped Julia and then he'd be the other twin.
introducing to the cast of Big Brother 17, and then it's like Liz and El Chapo in the bikinis, and they're like looking at each other.
I would love that. I think that's if only we had a time machine, we could go back and rejigger a few tunnel mechanics, and I think this could have totally happened.
Oh my gosh. Oh man, if somebody could if only we could just find a video of El Chapo in a bikini, like looking to his left, and then we could just Photoshop that into the opening credits, and then just hit saying Julia, not El Chapo, Julia,
with Liz. With an accent over the I.
Yes. Oh man. Oh, that would be amazing, Mike. Oh my goodness. Okay. So
Julia, not El Chapo, is voting for Liz.
Yes. Yes. We have concluded that she's voting for Liz. So it's 3-2-1. Austin is next. He's got his vote. Which direction is he going to go in, Mike? And I think we know.
Yeah. I mean, he's absolutely voting for Liz. I think in a Vanessa's versus Steve thing, he's going to vote for Steve. Again, if I'm going back to this Ben Wade example, I guess I'm also trying to figure out the Judas mythos here, because it is eviction speech, which was 50 shades of crazy. He's like, all right, it's Judas versus Boy. And I didn't know in the whole story of Judas who Boy was. Is Boy like his arch nemesis? Is Boy like the guy he grew up with and sort of he betrayed, a la, you know, like Ramses and the Prince of Egypt? But if it came down to the two of them, I guess he would vote for Steve, I guess, just because he's so vehemently anti-Vanessa right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that if we do the same exercise with Julia, I think that she would also. Oh, I don't know though. What would Julia if? What would Julia do? I know it seems like Austin is going to vote, so he's going to vote for Liz no matter what. But if it's in that scenario, yes, he's probably. If it's Steve versus Vanessa, he's going Steve. If it's Julia, she clearly does not like Steve. However, she said tonight in the jury segment that she understands why Steve did what he did. So do you think that's a sign as to her being more pro Steve than she is pro Vanessa?
Yeah. And I mean, if Liz is out of the house too, that's going to, I mean, we might as well pair those two votes together as well.
Right.
And I think Liz's opinion is going to influence her a lot. And I would say at that point, I think I'm going to assume that Vanessa wins and evicts her. So maybe they would want to vote for Steve in that instance, because I mean, Vanessa has been very buddy buddy with Liz in the final four round and saying like, girl power, let's make it to the end. And if she's once again betrayed at the final three, I think that might be the last straw for her. And her and her sister will say, okay, let's just vote for Steve now.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think that's probably, if we see, and I think if we see Vanessa in the final two, I think that's the most likely scenario at this point. Maybe, I don't know. It just depends on if Liz is on the jury, it's going to be Vanessa, I believe, taking herself. Although you never know. Vanessa has proved me wrong before. So maybe she can convince Liz to take her and just convince her that she just hates Steve so much, because clearly Liz doesn't like Steve either at this point.
No.
But okay. So we're going to say, so let's see. So now, so Austin is also going to vote for Liz. So right now, as we have it, it is 3-3-1. Mm-hmm. Johnny Mac is next. And I think it's pretty clear he's going to vote for Steve, no?
Yeah. I mean, as much of a fan as, I mean, Johnny Mac's not going to reveal he's a fan whatsoever to Vanessa, or to anybody. But as much of a fan as he is, Vanessa has been driving him crazy this entire season. And I don't know if he necessarily wants to reward those actions. And I mean, it's sort of like a Boogie and Will situation here from Big Brother All-Stars, where they were tight until the end. And it was just a matter of circumstances that ended up taking Johnny Mac out. But I don't really see circumstances where Johnny Mac doesn't vote for Steve. If it's a Vanessa Liz final two, that'll be interesting. And that may make me wonder if he ends up voting for Vanessa.
Yeah, that I think if that is the scenario we see, I think he is going to he's going to tip his cap. He's not going to, I don't know what the saying was that Julia said tonight. I think it was the hats to them. That's what Julia said.
Oh my God. I'm on, you know, at the very end of the season here, the twin pieces of wisdom, or twisdom, if you will, that this entire season has been amazing. I think there was like one where she said, you know, we'll get to that bridge when we cross it. there was one she said last week about like the fastest and like the goodest or something like that. There's just so many fantastic nuggets in there, which is saying, you know, let's move this. If you think these people, the twins were duds, they were not as incendiary as Adria and Natalie were. I'll give you that. But that being said, they were their own complete other archetype of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, comes back to everybody brought something to the table this season. And the twins, yes, they're not going to give you the best strategic gameplay or anything like that. But I think considering the circumstances, they did a hell of a good job this season. And they did the best they could, and they were super, they're funny as hell. I think that, you know, they're maybe not the most likable, but some of these lines that they keep whipping out, I mean, so funny. And then the, ooh, Austin, oh my God, he smells, I don't even like him. And then all that stuff, and, oh, Mr. Spectacular, oh, so hot. Like, that stuff is so funny. And, like, even, okay, I mean, Austin is evicted, all right? And he's gone, goes home with bare feet. And the next day, Liz is in the backyard. She sees Beast Mo Cowboy. And she's like, oh, you're the hottest ninja I've ever seen. And like all this stuff. And then when Rachel Riley, and we didn't even talk about this yet, the Brenchel baby is announced. Brendan and Rachel are talking to Julie Chen. And Julie says, well, do you think that Austin and Liz have a chance of lasting beyond this? Could they potentially get married like you guys? And Rachel's like, yeah, absolutely they could. I mean, no, they're not going to get married.
No.
No way. I mean, she's saying Beast Mode Cowboy is the hottest ninja she's ever seen.
Absolutely not. And I do kind of feel like part of me really wants to hope, for Schadenfreude's sake, that production put like Jesse in the house and put Caleb in the house just to like mess with Austin's mind and say like, oh, look at these other boy toys that are in the other HPOAs for Liz to flirt with. That being said, just quick tangent about Caleb. Big Brother producer, stop trying to make us remember Big Brother 16. Or if you do, don't bring back people like Caleb and He Who Must Not Be Named. Like, can we have like Donnie or Zach, the people who like were in the running for the favorite player of the season last season, not these randos that'll come in. I mean, I admire Caleb's physical prowess and his you know, his karate skills were fantastic. But that being said, what was he doing there?
I agree. Preach, man. I agree. Like, what? Well, I don't know though. Like, you didn't want millions of prescriptions of Amber's magazine. You didn't want more lines like that, Mike.
I mean, I was afraid that like as soon as Liz started talking to him, he's like, oh great, here, you want a banana peel? Give me your first, last name, primary address, and no reason. I'm just curious about it.
Or, oh man, that would be amazing. Or remember the pickles too? Wasn't he afraid?
Yeah, that's what
pickles?
That was the whole thing with the banana peel. Yeah. He's gonna put a pickle and a banana peel to give to Amber. This is the reason why these long Big Brother seasons are so wackadoodle, is because like Caleb for the first like 5 weeks of that Big Brother season was a complete joke and was like one of the most hated people on that season. But once it turned into Frankie's big fiasco, he sort of by the end of his tenure became like this sort of comic hero, which is I think the reason why they decided to bring it back was because the whole Judy Chop thing with the rewind button. So they decided, oh, let's redress the boxer figures from last year's competition and just bring him back for some reason.
There's the whole the ninja thing. I mean, I get it why people love Beast Mode Cowboy, because there were those scenes and he was hilarious and stuff like that, but I'm with you, Mike. I mean, the first 5 weeks of last season, I really did not like Beast Mode Cowboy. He was very creepy. And I mean, remember there was that picture, that screen cap for that new show that was coming on CBS called Stalker. Yeah. And Caleb's like sitting and he's got the Amber's dress wrapped around his head like a bandana or a scarf. And he's like looking at her. I mean, that, like everyone hated Caleb. And then all of a sudden he just morphed into somebody who was almost like a fan favorite almost. So yeah, I don't really understand it. And yeah, the Big Brother 16, don't get me wrong, great winner. I mean, and for me, Big Brother's like pizza, as Rob Sesternino has said about Survivor. Even when Big Brother's bad, it's still good. But Big Brother 16 was not the greatest season. Yet we keep seeing time and time again, like you said, we've seen Frankie Grande. We've seen Beastmo Cowboy. Now finale night. I would bet you $100,000 we're going to see Derek Lavasser at the jury.
We already got a segment of the Hitmen earlier in the season, too.
Yes, and we got this Hitmen segment. And you know what? That's great. I love Derek. I'm glad we're going to see Derek probably being doing the jury segment because Derek's great. I want to see Derek, but I agree. Where's Donnie? Everyone wants to see Donnie. Where's Zach Rantz? America loved Zach Rantz, and yes.
I'm so surprised. I mean, Zach Rantz is probably dying right now to get on the show. Donnie, I can imagine, like, maybe he's afraid from getting fired from his job again, but Zach Rantz is like probably sending, you know, letters to Robin Cass's apartment every day saying like, okay, when are you going to bring me back on the show? Bring me back on the show. I'm ready to get back on the show. I have my Fruit Loop boxes prepared.
Yeah, I agree. And it doesn't make, I have my Fruit Loop boxes prepared. He does though, right? I mean, you just pick up the phone and he's there. I mean, what's Zach Rantz doing? He's making you nows. I think even on his bio on You Now, it says that he's unemployed. I mean, I'm sure he would gladly go back on the show. And I think there has been a lot of backlash to Zach and how he's handled some things post-show, and some fans have not really liked that. But I think to the general viewing public, Zach Rantz is beloved by everybody. And I think that if CBS were to promote, hey, and guess what? Next week on Big Brother, Zach Rantz is back to enter the house and he's going to take them to an Ariana Grande concert. I don't know what they decided to do with Zach, but something. And for whatever reason, they just haven't decided to do that. And that's really puzzled me. And even honestly, I would have loved to see Devin. I think Devin would have been hilarious. Devin needs to get back on our TV screens. Devin is amazing television. And I mean, it's a shame we were robbed of Devin, bro, because if we lived in a universe where we got to see Devin come back as like the beast, not even the Beastmo Cowboy, as like the Jesse, where he's coming to host these comps every season. God. Oh my God.
Well, you know what the Devin Vito competition would be? It would be like, here's my daughter, watch her for an hour. If anything happens to her, you lose the competition.
You come up with how as many different ways you can say that you're playing this game for your daughter, bro, and how many good DRs you can come up with that. I'll judge.
All right, you're just going to stand in a line. I'm going to figure out which one of you has the most honor and integrity, and I'm going to point at you, and then you win. Or it'll just be throw baseballs at me, and whoever's baseball I hit is out.
That would be great. Or how many times you can say how hot you think Joey is, Joey from who was the first one evicted, also known as Alex. Do you remember that? That was so random that he said that on like the second episode.
Yeah.
Devin was just like, Joey, so hot, bro. I was like, what? Wait, what? Like, what's Devin saying here? That doesn't really seem like Devin's type, but whatever reason it was. Devin. Would have loved to see Devin, but you know what? Hey, that's what CBS is doing. They love Beastmo Cowboy. He's, as many of you guys listening to this podcast probably know, he's going to be making another appearance on a CBS show next spring. So
yes, Life in Pieces.
Yes, Life in Peace.
According to Austin, the greatest comedy to hit the airwaves since I Love Lucy.
Yeah, and he'll probably be taking Austin's spot on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Though, dude, from last season, that's supposed to be my spot.
Sorry, Austin. We decided to go in another direction. We chose Beast Mode Cowboy. We really liked his intellect a lot more than we enjoyed yours. So we think
I actually really want the Bold and Beautiful spot to go to Johnny Mac. Not just because, I mean, Dr. John McGuire is a fantastic like soap opera name, but can you imagine like, well, Chloe, it's a tumor. I'm sorry. You want me to kiss you? I don't know.
That is a great Johnny Mac impression, Mike. Well, I'm very impressed. Impressed.
The one thing I noticed about Johnny Mac is that he always ends his sentences like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that's trails off with something at the end to invalidate everything he said beforehand.
Well, that's what when he said, I lost his veto competition. I guess I'm going home.
I guess I can't pay my my dental school bills.
Oh, Johnny Mac, the rock star dentist. He's great. I'm really gonna miss him, to be honest with you. I think that he wasn't the greatest player, at the game. But I think on a second time, in the second go around, I think Johnny Mack could do really well at this game, because I think a lot of people are going to like him. He's very likable. And I think that a lot of people are going to underestimate him still, even though people on the outside and everybody after the fact is going to know that Johnny Mack is a huge fan of the game. I still think that because of some of the moves he made and how Vanessa and other people were able to convince him to do things, I think he's going to be underestimated when he does go back. And I think at this point, really, it's more of a when, not if, with him. Yeah. Mike, who else do you think from this season could do well on a second go round playing this game?
This is going to sound crazy, but I would love to see Audrey Middleton come back and play this game. Not just because she's a crazy character, but it would be interesting to see. I mean, as you said, we're probably not going to get Devin back in the house, but this is sort of like a Devin-like type character, someone who completely exploded into fireworks upon the minute the game started. It would be really interesting if there was like a second chance this season, if they brought her back and to see if she could like underplay her game or, you know, try to keep things more subtle. I think that would be really, really fun to see.
Yeah. And you know what? I might be crazy too, because I agree with you, Mike. I think that Audrey is definitely one of the people I would like to see, just because I think her game would be so much different on a second go around. And I think that she's learned from her mistakes. And I think that if you give it a couple of years for her to reflect and look back on everything, I think that she could do a really decent job at playing this game, because she knows the right things to do. And there were certain things that Audrey actually did pretty well in terms of lying and that kind of stuff. The problem was she just played way too hard. That was her issue. I think that if we were playing a Big Brother ORG that lasted 3 days, Audrey is the greatest Big Brother ORG-er of all time. But that's not real life Big Brother. Real life Big Brother is 98 days long, and that's just something that you can't really pull off. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. And we kind of cut off that combo we were having before about the jury thing. And we were talking about Beast Mode Cowboy and all El Chapo and all these other things. So ultimately, from the tally that I have, we're not including the final jury member. So Liz, Steve, or Austin, whoever that is, the tally that I have is 4-3-1 in favor of Steve. So right now, it looks like, based on what we have in front of us here, Steve has, in terms of the votes, Steve's got the best shot at winning Big Brother 17. Mike, do you think that if Steve wins this game, he's going to be remembered as one of the better winners that's ever won? Or do you think he's going to be closer to the lower tier of people that have won this game?
I would probably put him somewhere in the middle, because I don't think some of the big backlash that came after Ian won was that like the game was basically the end game very much played like, oh, you know, this is how Dan lost instead of this is how Ian won. So as a result, a lot of people were saying like, oh, you know, Ian didn't deserve this. He basically was just there at the end and everyone hated on Dan. I feel like that's not going to be Steve's story. Even if he does go up against someone like Vanessa, I feel like Steve has done enough to make a story for himself and give himself at least a little bit of a strategic resume to put him again somewhere in the middle. The thing about Big Brother winners is that a lot of them are very, very credible players. You even look at people like, you know, Adam Jasinski or someone like Lisa Donahue, and albeit outside of their possible narcotics charges, they played like good games. They were pretty underhanded, not that flashy as the big three might be, but they play like very, very solid games. I mean, I would argue that like maybe probably some of the least regarded wins might have been, I mean, Jordan's definitely down there. And I would say Rachel and Evil Dick are only down there because there were certain things that happened in their seasons that might make it a little more luck based than strategic based necessarily. But I think we can make a case for them winning either. So I would say Steve probably falls somewhere in the middle of Big Brother winners. Definitely. I mean, I think we've had some pretty and slash really good winners the past couple years. I would not put Steve exactly in that category, but I wouldn't put him at the bottom either.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's probably the perfect spot for Steve, is somewhere in the middle. And I agree with you. I think Lisa Donahue is one of the best Big Brother players ever, in my opinion. And I think maybe not the best players ever, but one of the most underrated players.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she Yeah, everyone says Daniel Reyes got robbed, and yeah, Daniel Reyes did get robbed, but Lisa Donahue beat her. She was the person that beat Daniel Reyes, and in order to – that wasn't just strictly because Lisa Donahue was – Daniel Reyes was the victim of a bitter jury. Partially true, but – Lisa was just so well liked socially, and I think that is why. And she's one of the better players that has ever played this game. But
yeah,
different conversation for a different day. Big baller. I mean, I don't know what we can say about Big Baller. He's out of jail now, I think. So that's
all good for now.
For now, but yeah, Big Baller. I mean, you got to give him credit too. I mean, he started very poorly and turned it around towards the end. But oh man, Adam Jasinski. That's a guy I would love to interview. I think that would be a very fun podcast talking.
Well, next if you interview him, you may have to do so with a phone attached to a cord in front of a glass plane.
Oh yeah, I'll be like Sarah Koenig going to on in Serial.
Serial's you know, reality TV wrap ups presents Serial season 3. How did Adam Jasinski win Big Brother? We find out.
Did Adam Jasinski really sell OxyContin, or was he framed? Was it really Maddie or Natalie or Crazy James that set him up?
Well, I can imagine, actually, Sheila Kennedy does kind of sound a little bit like Christina Gutierrez, from what I remember. So I think they could be very comparable.
Oh, Sheila. That would be amazing if Sheila did that, man. Oh, Sheila.
Adam, did you sell narcotics?
Oh, man. Adam, big baller. Great dude. Okay, so... We've come to the conclusion that Steve will be in the middle of the pack if he's the winner of this season. What do you think? Let's go through the other two as well. Liz, if Liz wins this season, where do you rank her, Mike?
It's tough because, I think that Liz played a solid game. For a lot of people, it's going to be very hard to suss that out from her personality. And I think if people look at her and they say, oh, yeah, Liz, she was the bikini girl who hooked up with Austin and then made it to the end and won. I feel like that's going to put her near the bottom on a lot of people's lists, which I feel is a little wrong. I feel like we're pointing fingers at her that we don't necessarily want to. But I mean, I think it's just her reputation in the game and maybe her lack of popularity probably does not lend well to a good reputation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's too bad that that's the case. But I think that the consensus once this thing is over is exactly that. And that's a little unfortunate for Liz, but that's part of Big Brother. I mean, that happens, and the fans have the people they love and the people that they don't necessarily love so much. And I don't know. I think that I put her maybe around the middle-ish, maybe a little lower than Steve, but not all the way at the bottom. She has done some things. It wasn't completely by luck or a complete fluke, but again, another conversation for another day. Okay, Vanessa, where does Vanessa rank for you? Mike, if Vanessa is the winner of Big Brother 17, is she in the top 5 of Big Brother winners of all time?
Definitely not in the top 5, but I would definitely say top 10, which I was not saying much considering they're 17, but I would say definitely like top middle of the pack. I mean, for me, the top 5 obviously have like the big 3. Now I'd probably put people like, you know, Hayden or Andy or Maggie in there. Now I'd probably put Vanessa in like, you know, Taryn Armstrong kind of tiers his winners. And I would probably put her in like the third tier, maybe, because if we have like the big 3 guys that played pretty flawless games, then the next one down are like people who played great games and were very underhanded and always in control. That's like your Andy and your Maggie and your Hayden. And then below that, we have like the people who played good games, might not have been in control all the time. They might have made a few mistakes. That's probably where I would put Vanessa, which again is not a bad spot to put it. And I think, like you totally said before, comparatively across this season, Vanessa definitely played the best game, I would say. She has done strategic things that nobody else could do. But comparing it in a larger macro sense to the rest of Big Brother, it might be a little tough to stack her up against. I would even put her as probably in terms of female winners. I've definitely put her below Maggie, And it might be tough between her and Lisa Donahue for my second for the second best female winner.
Yeah, I think that's probably that's accurate. I'd go with that, too. I think there's some debate for up there. I think she's in the top three for sure. I wouldn't kill anyone if they were like, no, it's Vanessa one, it's Maggie two and Lisa three or any different order. I wouldn't argue with them too much. I can understand someone thinking that. But I think that, yeah, she's in that top three. Don't know for sure if she's number one, but yeah, top 10 overall for sure. And that's what's interesting about Big Brother for me is that I found that just thinking about it with Survivor, I feel like with Survivor, there are so many great players overall. There's tons of great players and there's a fair amount of great winners because there have been 30 seasons. But with Big Brother, there are so many of the players that have played are so bad. It's very like the players at Big Brother has a lot of very weak players, but the winners, the people that have won the game, most of them are very solid. There hasn't really been too many winners where I've said to myself, wow, I can't believe that person has won, a la a Fabio or Natalie White or maybe a Vesepia in Survivor or something like that. Vesepia is someone that I guess is more up for debate. She's in a higher tier, I guess. But those guys, I think I would put there are very, you know, bottom of the barrel. And there aren't too many of those in Big Brother, which is really nice. Let's get into the questions, Mike. So if you guys are watching on Periscope, and Mike, you should be very impressed. We have seven people still watching this on Periscope.
I think those seven people still think I'm Mike Dutt. So thank you for still staying under that illusion. Or maybe they thought we promised them the expelled contestants Royal Rumble will happen on this podcast.
You seven people watching this right now, I'm looking at you. Thank you for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. So you guys, please send us in your questions because we're going to start looking at some of those. You can tweet those to us as well. But if you want to send them to us on Periscope, that's great. And because the Periscope questions disappear, and if I don't see it, just keep popping it up on the screen and I will hopefully get to it eventually. Okay, let's get into the first question here. It comes from Jorge Alvarado at Hey Jorge Hey. He says, hey guys, J-Max said he should have evicted Steve last round, but is this just hindsight? Wasn't Austin the best move? This is an interesting question, Mike. What do you think about that?
It's absolute hindsight. I mean, he had let's play out the situation. Let's say he gets rid of Steve and it is him, Austin, Liz and Vanessa in the final four. I mean, are we going to assume that he wins HOH? I mean, if he does, that's great, I guess. But I don't know if he'll make it to the final two that way. If he doesn't win HOH, Vanessa is going to probably win that veto. And I would believe, and you better believe that Austin and Liz are going to keep each other above Johnny Mac. So, I mean, it's a calculated risk that you take. I again think Johnny Mac made the right decision. It just did not swing in his favor when Vanessa won the veto.
Yeah, I think that the only way you could really make this argument would be him winning the HOH because he was second to Steve. And if Steve wasn't there, then perhaps he wins that tiebreaker and he ultimately is your HOH for Final Four. And then the situation is completely different. But I don't know, even if we take out Vanessa surely winning that power veto comp and say, I don't know, maybe Austin ends up winning it. Even if Johnny Mac's in a spot where he goes to the final three with Austin and Liz, it's very, very, I mean, it's so tough for him. He's got to win out for him to even have a chance at getting to the final two. And even then, it's going to be a tough road, I think, in that spot, if he's sitting against either of those two in the end. So I don't know if there's anything Johnny Mac really could have done. And I don't think I mean, maybe he's going to beat himself up. He probably will. And Big Brother players and Survivor people do this all the time when they get eliminated. They beat themselves up over what they could have, should have, would have done instead of what they ultimately ended up doing. But in reality, a lot of that is just hindsight. I mean, there's only so much he can do. And just based on the cards Johnny Mac was dealt, I think he did the best he could have done. And, you know, he's a guy that was returning to the game and he had a second shot and he should be proud of making it to Final Four. It's very rare that somebody comes back into the game and makes it that deep. I believe Johnny Mack is, how far did, do you remember how far Amy made it on Big Brother 3? Because she made it to
Final Four as well, but obviously not as many days.
Not as many days. So both of them, so Johnny Mack is tied now for the highest placing with a returning player, which is pretty damn impressive. And oh, Willie, look at that. My phone just died. So Periscope is out, Mike. So guess what? It's just me and you, my friend.
Oh, so fantastic. Now I can finally be myself now that the seven people aren't watching us.
Yes, the seven people that were watching us have left. They've abandoned us. So my phone is dead. Maybe I'll be able to, nah, whatever. That's okay. I don't need to worry about getting Periscope going. We're going to end this thing relatively soon here anyway. But another question for you, a follow-up question, Mike. If Johnny Mack would have made it to the final two, would you, if you were a jury, say you're a Becky, somebody whose vote is kind of up in the air, would you be willing to vote for Johnny Mack despite the fact that he already got voted out once before?
I mean, if I'm Becky specifically, I would have, because I mean, they had a personal relationship.
Right. But let's just say hypothetical. Okay. Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo. That's who you are. You're in the jury.
Come back, Joey Jojo. That's my Barney Gumble slash my Johnny Mack.
That is an amazing Barney Gumble.
Thank you. I'm rolling out so many impressions I didn't even know I could do.
Yeah, that's okay. So Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo, the worst name I've ever heard. You're in the jury house. You have a vote. Would you vote for Johnny Mack in the final two?
It's a good question. And I mean, I think for me personally as a juror, it would probably come down to a lot of social game, because that's probably something that I value very, very highly. And I think that Johnny Mack has a very likable social person. He does have somewhat of a competition resume. He won 4 vetoes. And I mean, yes, he did get voted out. But I mean, let's also consider the circumstances where he returned to the competition and did not win that HOH. He threw it to Vanessa, but was able to leverage himself in a position where he made it an additional 4 weeks into the game, when he very could have easily been kicked right back out the door. And, you know, people thought he was going to be. So I had to commend him for that. I mean, I'm always going to give the economist answer of it depends who he's up against. But I would say, you know, maybe up against someone like Liz, I may give it to Johnny Mack, but if he's up against someone like Steve or Vanessa, I might have to spare him my vote.
Interesting. Yeah, it's because that's something I just wanted to ask you, because there's a lot of people who are adamant that no, if someone is a returning player, they come back into the game, they shouldn't win, they have no chance, blah, 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 and they get all mad. But then there's other people who are open minded, and there's people, I mean, we saw this on Big Brother Canada season 1, where we had a returning player in the final two, and he really should have won. It just by accident, he lost. So, that's interesting that you say that. I don't know. I feel like I agree with you. I think it just depends on who he would be up against in the situation. I think that he's just so lovable and likable that I would just want to anyway, if I was Joey Jojo and he hadn't screwed me over. But at the same time, I think that would probably be in the back of my mind. I know for me, when I got voted out, I was thinking, wow, if Cindy makes the final two, it would be amazing if she got there, but it would irk me to vote for somebody that already got voted out, especially if they got voted out before I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting debate. And that's something I think that now is kind of, it's a part of Big Brother. We're looking at, again, we talked about earlier how now in Big Brother, you need the resume, and that's how, by winning competitions, that's part of the game now. I think returning people, that's a constant theme on these Big Brother seasons. Now we've seen it 3 seasons in a row on the US version of the show. So, and it looks like it's here to stay. So I don't think that we can really, I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of it, but at the same time, if somebody does something improbable like Johnny Mack, I think you got to reward them for that. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? And I lost all those great Periscope questions from those 7 people we had watching. okay. Let us see here. Okay. Here's a great question. Comes from Duke Silver at Radar Man, and he says, was it the right move for the girls to vote out Will? I think Boogie wins either way, but still, hashtag RHAP. Well, I don't know what season.
Duke Silver from 2007 coming to talk to us?
Yeah, I think Duke Silver I think this tweet was sent back in 2006 and it got lost in, I don't know, maybe his dial up screwed up or something. And now it just finally processed 2 hours ago. But alas, this is his question. So, Mike, what do you think? Was it the right move to vote for the girls to vote out Will?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the other choice was Erica. So if Janelle, we were just talking about this with Johnny Mack, if Janelle votes out Erica, she basically puts herself in a situation where she has to win out no matter what. And I mean, there's a little to no chance that Will would win any one of those competitions, even if he was like trying his hardest. So it'd probably come down to Janelle versus Mike anyway. And as we know, Mike won the final part of the head of household, and he would summarily evict Janelle. I do not think he would betray Will at that point. If it came down to Mike versus Will, I still think, and maybe it's sort of in comparison, not so much, but it's maybe in sort of like a Will or a Vanessa Steve type of thing, where I think Will could very much say like, well, yeah, Mike, you know, was head of household and made these decisions, but he wouldn't have made them without me. I was the one that was spurring along all these different nodes at different points of the game, and I feel like they would want to give it to Will again.
Yeah, I agree too, 100%, but I just find that so funny.
And then a piece of the Hubble telescope comes and takes out Marcellus before he puts his key in the box.
Oh man. Oh, back to 2006, prior to all these expelled people coming back to fight each other. Well, I guess we wouldn't have the Shima and Willie Hance part. I guess during Big Brother All-Stars, we still could have had Scott and Justin go back and have a little rumble before that final HOH comp. But
yeah.
Oh man, that's amazing. Okay. Esteban Casanova, my good buddy, he says, so who would be the likely winner at this point in this game, in the game? So we went through it earlier. Steve's got the most favor probably in the jury right now based on the votes that we came up with. So are we saying that we think Steve's probably the winner a week from now?
Yeah, I mean, the optimist is saying Vanessa, but the realist in me is saying Steve at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think I want to see both of them. I would be happy either way. I've been rooting for Steve since day one because I feel like he's my long lost American cousin. But Vanessa, I think would be epic if she were to win this game. And I think that she's been by far the best player this season. And she is definitely very deserving of that. Okay, here we go. Looks like, yeah, let's go to this one here from Anthony S. at I Am Anthony. So he says, if Vanessa finishes third, will she be the smartest player never to win the game, Mike? And I think I know your answer to this question. So if not, where would she rank for you in terms of best players that have not won?
Yes, I'm going to give that an emphatic no.
I'm with you.
I mean, if we're saying smartest person not to win, are we counting runners up as well? Because, I mean, Daniel Reyes is still... she's still probably number one there. I mean, but you got to put, you know, Dr. Will All-Stars is in there as well. Jason Guy, I would definitely put up there too. Some more low-key ones. I mean, Kevin from season 11 played a surprisingly like very good game once you think about it. But I would definitely put her like up there, but I would not call her the smartest player not to win the game. But I also would say across all editions of this version of Big Brother, I would still call Netta the smartest player not to win Big Brother.
Ooh, interesting. So going to Big Brother Canada, the smartest player to never win, Netta Kalantar. Yeah. I can't fault you for that. I think Netta is an excellent player, and I'm hoping to do a Big Brother, top Big Brother Canada players podcast in the off season. So
we'll see
where Netta ranks on that. And it's going to be kind of hard for me to do that because I played, but we'll see. Maybe I won't vote. We'll see what happens. But I don't think Vanessa, if for me, I'm with you. Vanessa wouldn't be, she'd be below Danielle. She'd definitely be below Jason Guy. Kevin Campbell is a great player as well. Very, very underrated player. Eric Stein is ahead of Vanessa, in my opinion. I think Eric Stein is better than Vanessa in my personal opinion. I think that if Eric is not hindered by America's player, I think we're talking about Eric in the top tier of Big Brother players ever. But that's a timeline that we may never know about unless we get to see Eric play again. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe Vanessa would probably slot in around maybe like six or five or six around there. I'd have to go back and look at all the winners, but Yeah, I like your Netta pick though, Mike. I think Netta is definitely Netta's one of the best. And give me Emmett Boyce too from season one of Big Brother. Yeah, Emmett's pretty good.
I would say with Vanessa too. I think the interesting thing that we can point out with people like Danielle or Jason or Kevin is that you can point to maybe a couple of instances where you said, well, maybe if they hadn't done this, they would win the game. I mean, Danielle is probably the most specific one with maybe she hadn't talked so much trash, but that's debatable. With Vanessa, I feel like if she does come in second or third, I feel like with Vanessa, unlike those other players, there are myriad spots you can point to and say, okay, well, maybe if she didn't do this or this or this, or didn't cry here, or didn't you know, approach the situation this way, or didn't tell Johnny Mac to make a deal 5 days ago and then completely forget and make, you know, think he's suspicious because he brings up this deal that you forgot to tell him to make. I think she'll have a lot more examples on her resume for people to say, okay, maybe she's not necessarily the best player not to win, as opposed to some of those other players who probably have more spotless records because they weren't so fiery with their gameplay.
Yes, and that fiery is the great word for it, Mike. I agree with you there. And I'm excited to see check out the Big Brother subreddit at the end of the season to see what people are saying about Vanessa if she does end up winning this game, comparing her to these people, because you know that's what people are going to do once this thing is over, to see what the general online consensus is with her. But it's a lot's going to come down to this upcoming week and this what's Vanessa's going to do, because if Vanessa wins, I think she's going to be remembered a lot differently than if she walks out the door third, or even if she comes in second. I think she said tonight she's going for the gold, and we're going to have to wait and see if that's going to happen. Okay, so I've looked at these questions, and believe it or not, Mike, we are all out of questions, and unfortunately, I can't go to my Periscope and ask the trusty seven viewers that we had for any questions. So is there anything you want to talk about before we wind this thing down?
Yes, I would love first of all, I have a small story, and then I kind of have a question for you, but I'll just go with the small story first. I live in New York, as I mentioned before, and I know we were not going to mention him too much, but I was walking around Midtown Manhattan, and I walked out of the Macy's at Herald Square, and who do I see in front of a giant poster of Ariana Grande promoting her new fragrance line, the one and only Frankie Grande? I guess he did not stay in LA too long.
Oh my gosh, really? You saw Frankie?
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but actually Frankie went to the same college as I did.
Wow, I did not know that, Mike. Wow.
Yeah, so he graduated, I think, 2 years before I got there. So I think I met him once. My wife met him a couple times when he came back to visit because we went to the same college. So it was weird watching Big Brother last year when all my college friends were like watching it for Frankie, maybe not necessarily rooting for him, but watching for him. I walk outside and I see these people like randomly taking selfies on the night streets of New York. And I realize that it is Frankie Grande and there is a gaggle of fans around him. They were not wearing wigs, so I don't know if they were secretly reality TV contestants. But yeah, it was weird. And I didn't even like realize, I took a picture and I sent it to Rob, and I didn't even realize it was what was going on until I noticed the Ariana Grande poster behind him, and I forgot, like, oh yeah, the fragrance line came out. So that was my little encounter with Frankie. The question I have for you is just, you know, generally doing some wrap up on this season since we only have a week left. I mean, what are your thoughts about this season? I feel like looking at the general fan community, I feel like this season is very polarizing. I think there are some people that really look upon it and say, like, well, this was actually, I really enjoyed this season. I'd say best season since Big Brother 10. There are some people saying, like, well, I really did not like this season. I'm going to stop watching once James left. I would love to hear your thoughts on, now that Big Brother 17 is coming to a close, and I don't know if the ending is going to influence at all, but what were your general thoughts of the past 3 months of Big Brother 17?
That's a great question, Mike. And yeah, no one's really asked me that yet. I've talked about it a little bit. I really do enjoy this season. And I think right now, I feel the same way I felt heading into the finale of Survivor Kageyan, in which we had, and it was a little different. I think Tony is a better Survivor player than Vanessa is a Big Brother player, but Tony was the clear best player on that season of Survivor, and I was very nervous going into that finale that Tony was not going to be the winner of that season. When Tony won Survivor Cogion, that really influenced my feelings about the season, and for me, that's one of my favorite seasons of Survivor ever, because, and part of that is with the winner and how it ended and how it went out on such a high note. I think if we don't see Vanessa as the winner of this season, it's going to be a little, it's going to be bumped down a little bit in my ranks. But right now, heading into the finale, I really like it. I think that it's better than 16. It's better than 15, in my opinion. It's up there with 14, really, because honestly, if you take out Dan in 14, I think that there's 14 was really, in terms of the cast, I think it was kind of a dud. I think that those guys really made that season. 13, sorry, but no thanks. Season 12, the Brigade was great. I love Matt Hoffman. I love Hayden Moss, but not a very fun season to watch. 11, not like 11. So yeah, I would say probably my favorite season since Big Brother 10, Big Brother 14's in the discussion. I would have to, it's going to depend on who wins. If Vanessa wins, I think it's probably going to move past 14 for me. But if not, then yeah, it's probably just a little bit below season 14. And it would probably be, and I like more of a lot of the earlier seasons. So it would probably be maybe, it would be below Big Brother All-Stars, Big Brother 6, of course, both of those seasons, below Big Brother 2, below Big Brother 3, below Big Brother 10. So, and then I'd have to look back at some of those other seasons. So yeah, we're probably slotting around maybe 9 for me, which is actually 9th or 10th in my ranks, which is actually pretty good. I think that it's been a very solid season, because considering, you know, looking back at some of the, again, like I mentioned, the earlier seasons of Big Brother are some of my favorites, and we haven't really seen anything like that in a while. So the more recent ones have been not the greatest. So I'm pumped. I'm really happy with the cast that got put together. I'm really happy with the season. I'm glad they got rid of the takeover. I'm glad that really, honestly, for the most part, this was a pure game, and that's what I really wanted to see. Yes, there was the Battle of the Block at the beginning, but they ended it pretty early, and they had the one person come back to the game, and they had the twins. But for the most part, everything was in the hands of the house guests. There were there wasn't a lot of outside influence. There wasn't a lot of Grodner action going on, which really surprised me, because since the Allison Grodner era began in Big Brother 8, there's been tons of production interference. Now, I guess you could argue that the cancellation of the Big Brother takeover is sort of influence, but I don't really look at it like that. So I think that stopping it is preventing more influence from happening. So yeah, I'm really happy with the season so far, and I'm glad. I think my only complaint is it's just too long. I think that 98 days, that's a really, really long season. I think that 70 days is great. I think a little, 10 weeks, awesome. You can do, Big Brother Canada, that's what it was, 70 days. I think that's perfect. It's a great length. It's not too long. And we got lucky this year. This could have been a big dud of a season. If it would have sucked, could you imagine if we're still in, if we're in September, like at this time last year? I don't know about you, Mike, but I was really burnt out by this point last year.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm happy overall. I think that it's lots into that little mid range. You're in the same boat, I assume.
Yeah. So a few responses to what you were just talking about. First of all, I absolutely agree with you that this season is too long, and so was last season, and even Big Brother 15 as well. And I mean, I can totally understand from a marketing perspective and from a production perspective, like, okay, we need to fill time during the summer. Big Brother's a hot commodity. That being said, and this again goes back to my me flipping the bird to Les Moonves. Listen, Les, if you put Dr. Will Kirby, Tony Vlachos, Lee Sangman from The Genius, some of the most interesting players in reality TV history, in one location for 100 days, even they will not produce fantastic TV all 100 days. I feel like if he had a problem with like complacency or people not playing a game, it's because the longer the game goes, the more people tend to be conservative, because they know that there's going to be weeks coming up and that they're playing much more of a long-term game than a short-term game. So if you really want to make things exciting, shorten the number of weeks, but that's a horse of a different color. I would definitely say of the post BB10 era, let's just segment it there for now. I would definitely put it up there as well. I've really enjoyed the cast. I feel like each member of the cast has really brought something to the table, which is not something you can say of a lot of Big Brother casts recently. I think that it had a fantastic beginning, first like 4 or 5 weeks, and it's had a fantastic ending thus far, which you cannot say about all Big Brother seasons. I mean, even some of the more well-regarded Big Brother seasons did not have fantastic finishes. And here, you know, as much as the fans really lamented the whole, you know, when Liz won and then then Austin and then Vanessa and then Liz again, or that period of time from when, you know, from when Jackie was evicted to basically when James was evicted, everyone was like, oh, okay, this ruined the season. But then it just goes to show why Big Brother is such a fascinating game, because it immediately picked right back up. So it did sag in the middle a little bit, but that being said, it's had a fantastic beginning and end, which I think definitely validates it in my eyes. I hope nobody judges me here. Opinions outside the game and about cultural views aside, I really liked Big Brother 15. And I would say maybe outside of Big Brother 10, that might be up there as one of my favorite post Big Brother 10 seasons. Along with 14 would probably be a close second. 17 I might put as a third. And I put 17 on the same level as 15 in terms of, like, I think 17 had a lot of people gaming. Which 16 certainly did not have. And on Survivor Historians, we talk a lot about historical context of seasons. And I think 17 was sort of the, if I'm making a Survivor comparison, the Survivor Philippines of Big Brother, in that I think it was the casting, they really hit gold. And I think it was a very, like, sound season that brought people back from this season, where as much as CBS may think it was a fantastic season last year, across the board, people have panned it. So no matter what the outcome is, I think CBS did have a successful season on their hands. If we're looking at the larger scheme of things, I probably, like you, put it in like my number 10, number 9, maybe even number 8. I have to look back at some of those older seasons. But of the modern era, I have to give kudos to CBS. I think they've put together a really good package.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. And the Big Brother 15 hate and all that stuff is, in my opinion, a little unwarranted. I understand why people hate it so much, but again, you're not crazy, Mike. I think season 15 is a great season, and I think that Andy Herron is an excellent winner. And I think that the issue with 15 is just that, I guess, just the whole racism and all that kind of drama and all that stuff. But if we were to just put these seasons, if we were to, I don't know, put them in a vault per se, like the vault of Big Brother Canada 3. And if 100 years from now, somebody who had never seen any Big Brother season ever were to watch all of these seasons and they were to see Big Brother 15, I think their opinion on it would be a lot different than the people who were around living that season, seeing what was going on and all of that jazz. So I do think that 15 it definitely deserves to be in the conversation of better seasons in the modern era, for sure. All right, so I think that wraps things up for today, Mike. So I really do appreciate you for coming on. It really means a lot. You're an excellent guest, and so glad that I finally got the chance to talk to you, because I've been messaging you a little bit and stuff back and forth here and there. Congratulations again on getting married in the summer.
Oh, thank you. I think
that's awesome. And it's just great to have you on here to chat. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yes. So first off, I mean, I just want to give kudos to you as well. Again, thank you for bringing me on. This has been, I mean, I've been listening on and off to the stuff you've been putting out all summer, and you've been producing fantastic content. And I know, even going to school in the fall and you know, getting your hands deeper into broadcasting, it will make you an even better podcaster. So I'm even more excited to see what the potential that you're going to have to even grow as a podcaster. I've been doing it for a year, and I feel like I've already gotten better in terms of skills. So it's definitely a type of thing that the more you do it, the more you're going to feel comfortable doing it, and the more fun you're going to have overall. So thank you for having me on. This was so much fun, and I was so excited to talk with you as well. In terms of plugs, so it's fall TV season, which means I am going to be buying real estate in post-show recaps. I am going to be covering Once Upon a Time with Kurt Clark every week. I think it starts next week, actually, next Sunday. So We'll be doing that usually every Monday or so. And I'll be doing a few other things probably on post-show recaps here or there. If any of you listeners are going to go to this live Survivor Know-It-Alls on September the 30th here in New York City, home of the Ariana Grande poster outside Macy's, I will be there as well. And I'd love to meet you all and talk to you all about, you know, if we find out in a week about how wrong I was, I'd love to talk to you about that. And yeah, again, thanks so much for having me on, man. This was a lot of fun, and I've loved listening to you all summer, and I wish you nothing but the best for the future.
I appreciate the kind words, Mike. It really does mean a lot, and it coming from someone from like you as well, it really means a lot, and I really do appreciate that. All right, guys. So thank you, guys, everyone, for tuning in and listening. If you want to support this show, you can do so by going to robazawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. You can subscribe to the podcast. That really helps us out. So if you could do that, that would really make a difference for me. And if you could leave a review for this show as well, that really helps me and this podcast grow. And if you want to leave a 1-star review, that's great, or a 5-star review, that's awesome as well. Whatever you think that I deserve, please leave that and leave a review. At the end of the season, I'm going to do a draw with everybody who left a review and a rating, and one person's going to win a Skype call with me, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about for 30 minutes. It's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm really looking forward to that. You can also support Rob as a podcast by going to robazawebsite.com/patron, becoming a patron of Rob as a podcast. It really helps out Rob and all the stuff that he does. And without him, guys like Mike and I aren't doing what we're doing. So definitely, definitely help out Rob. Cause that we appreciate that. And, yeah, check out Mike's stuff. That really means a lot. And also, you guys are probably wondering, hey, how come this show is out so early this week? Because usually I record a live show every Saturday, and I am pleased to announce that this Saturday I will be recording a podcast, and it will be live on via Google Hangout, but it will not be a Big Brother podcast. Instead, Mike, I'm going to be talking about some Survivor. I'm going to be doing a Survivor preseason draft podcast.
Whoa.
Yes, with some of my pals from Big Brother Canada 3. So Sarah Hanlon, the winner of Big Brother Canada 3, will be there, as well as my good pal Johnny Colatrulio. He's going to be there joining me too. And last but not least, it's my fellow Fortress member, Kevin Martin, the most popular person to ever play Big Brother Canada.
He is going to
be on the podcast with me. All three of those guys are huge Survivor fans, so we're going to be doing our own preseason draft. None of us are spoiled, so we don't know what's going on. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this Survivor season, as I'm sure you are too, Mike. Now, I was going to ask you what the hashtag should be for this episode. Before we do that, though, advice. Who do you think I should take with my first round pick? Who do you think I should go for in the draft, other than Stephen Fishback and Spencer Bledsoe? Because that's who I'm gunning for first in the first round.
I was gonna say, if you're gunning for them for the first boot, that might be more likely, but that's another story. I'm personally backing Monica Padilla.
Okay, I think, thank you, because she was gonna be my winner pick, Mike. So I'm glad
she is my winner pick. So. Okay. If we want to really make this link that we talked about at the very beginning of the podcast complete, you will do my bidding and pick Monica.
Okay, no, Mike, because honestly, yeah, I feel bad. I wish I would have said this before, that Monica was my winner pick, but yeah, Monica is my winner pick. The thing is I was just thinking, well, I think I can kind of wait around to get her. I don't have to pick her right away, but I feel like I should probably just go out there and just take her anyway in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about fantasy sports. I'm no AJ Mass here, but you might be able to wait around her since there's only five of you guys, but I'm not terribly sure. The only other piece of advice I recommend is you gotta convince Sarah to take Wu, just because I feel like they are a match made in fantasy team heaven.
Oh man, Sarah Hanlon and Wu. Yeah, I actually think we talked about Wu in the house, and I do think that Sarah said she really liked Wu.
I had a feeling.
Yes. So yeah, we'll see if I can convince Sarah to take Wu. I know I won't be taking Wu, and I know that Kevin won't be taking Wu. So, and knowing Johnny, I don't think he'll be taking Wu. So
no.
I'll talk to Sarah and see how that'll happen. But yeah, if you're listening to this show, if you made it all the way to the end of this podcast, it's first off, thank you so much. You're amazing. You're just like those seven people listening to us live on Periscope as Rob Has a Podcast was airing live. That really means a lot. But if you are listening to this and you're hearing this and you're interested in getting some bonus Survivor coverage, definitely check that out. It's going to be on YouTube live this Saturday, the 19th. It's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's not at the regular time slot because I'll be at the Big Brother Canada 4 auditions this Saturday in Vancouver. And if you are in the Vancouver, British Columbia area, I would definitely check that out. I'm going to be there. The Ginger Ninja is going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. So try out. It's going to be great. I mean, I tried out and I got on the show and I never thought that would happen in a million years. So definitely if you're in the area, check that out. Okay, Mike, first off, I keep trying to do the hashtag. This is the longest podcast I have ever done on the Big Brother Happy Hour.
Really?
So congratulations. You're in the Tyson Apostle zone, my friend. Yes, I believe
that's my dream.
Yes. you're the Tyson Apostle of the Big Brother Happy Hour, Mike. But I think Sarah Hanlon went about 1 hour and 52 minutes, but this one is looking like it's going to be around, we're at 1:52:52 according to my count right now. Okay, so
I don't need to start reading from the phone book, start filibustering.
No,
podcast.
We're good. You're safe. You're the new clubhouse leader. So we need a hashtag, Mike, and there's several things we talked about today. What do you want to do? Because there's a few that, I mean, we talked about El Chapo. We talked about the brawl with the expelled people. We talked about you seeing Frankie Grande taking selfies. We talked about Beast Mode Cowboy. Where are you leaning?
I kind of like going around like the expelled player brawl, but I'm trying to think about like something that's like more succinct. That sort of sums it up without having to people write out like expelled player Royal Rumble. We could do like expelled brawl. I feel like that's
expelled brawl. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. So hashtag expelled brawl. You can tweet myself. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and you can tweet Mike Bloom. He's at a Mike Bloom type, and you can let us know how we did on the podcast. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I will be back again, like I mentioned, this Saturday talking Survivor. If you're not into Survivor, that's cool. I will be back after the finale. I'll be recording next Thursday. So the podcast should be out next Friday after the finale, talking with my original guests of the Big Brother Happy Hour. Before we even had the name of the podcast, Godfrey and Neha will be joining me once again. The three of us are going to be talking about the entire season.
It all comes full circle, like a snake eating its own tail.
Exactly. So we're coming full circle on the Big Brother Happy Hour. We're going to end it in style. Godfrey and Neha did such a great job in the first episode, so I figure why not have them on the last episode of the season as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that. So definitely check that out. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. For Mike Bloom, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag expelled brawl. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.